Good morning, church. Father God, we ask you to open the ears and the hearts of the people receiving your word today. And Holy Spirit, take over from now on. Let it be you that is preaching and not me, Lord. Amen. Well, you know, as we go through these weeks and days, we notice on the news that things are really not doing very well in this country. And I was appalled when I saw on TV the news about this young boy of 14, I think he was, who was stabbed to death in a park in the middle of the day. This is getting very bad. This is getting very bad. And then we see still these images of these riots going on. You know, and the latest images that were shown were yesterday, if I remember rightly, about one of the rioters actually using a handgun and shooting at police. I mean, how far are we going to go? And, you know, all these things are happening. Oh, yes, also there was the police found a handbag in one city, and they traced it down. There was an address in there, and they went to the lady's house and they found her dead. So obviously somebody had gone into the house, attacked the woman, took the handbag and went to another city. So it happens all the time. It happens everywhere. And then I'm not going to start touching on immorality, because we would never stop talking about it. But do you know, there's something that God already knew that all this was going to happen, because he wrote in Galatians 5:19-20, right? He already said there, you know, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. They're all there. They're all there. It's written down in the Word of God. And this is what's happening in the world today. It's right there. And you know, this is not the first time this is happening in the world. We know that. But I just want to go back to a passage right at the beginning of our book of God. And we're going to have a deeper look at Genesis 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Okay? Which, in reality, God says there, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're looking here at Genesis 5, verse 5. So in those days, right at the beginning, God already saw that the heart of man was wicked. And that's happening today. And then, the Lord said, He was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. He was grieved in his heart. Now, if we analyze the word grieved, that means sad. He was hurt by what he was seeing. It was pain in his heart that he could see with all these things happening on the earth. And I want you to think about what God is feeling today, because it's exactly the same thing. I can imagine him there sitting on his throne and looking down and saying, boy, I've seen this before, déjà vu, and I'm grieved. My heart is in pain. I am aching. My heart is crying to see what's going on the earth. And that's what God said. He was grieved in his heart. So he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. I will destroy both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Can you imagine God, the creator of heaven and earth, with all that he made, that he regretted what he had done? How bad are we that God regrets his creation? How bad can we be? Because this was, I would say, about 5 or 6,000 years BC, but it's happening today. How bad can we be? And then the next verse says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. There was one man who lived in righteousness, says verse 9. It says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That's just like people in this church here. We walk with God. I said, only this church, like the pastor says. You're not in the other churches, but in this church, we walk with God. Okay? So there was a man that was just throughout those generations. And I am sure that God is looking down, and somewhere he can see that there are just people on the earth here. So what did he say to Noah? Because he said, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he wanted to destroy not just the people and all the living creatures, but he wanted to destroy the earth itself. That's what it says there. And then I'm wondering if God sometimes does not regret that he made a covenant with man. Because he said, and we're going to see that a bit later on, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. And sometimes I'm wondering perhaps he wants to do that again. Just wants holiness. He wants to see good. He created something absolutely marvelous. He created something that was good. He created something that was deeply made of love and made from love. And for some reason, I mean, we know what the reason is, mind you, but we got to remind ourselves that the devil came into that, okay? And the consequence is that we all are sinners. And we grieve God daily. But there are things, you see, that God prepared. He knew that he was going to flood the earth. And he said, that just man, I can't just destroy. I'm going to prepare something for him to save him. Right? And then he says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, for what I'm about to say, the type of wood is totally irrelevant. Okay, but just so you would know, gopher wood, nobody knows exactly what that was because it doesn't exist anymore. It was some type of wood that was there in those days and which is no longer there. But the fact is that it was made of wood. Okay, and that is what is going to save Noah. The ark that he is going to build is going to save him. Because God does not want to destroy a just man. And he says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Do you know, I was reading this passage, and immediately the Holy Spirit was saying to me, come to Jesus, the cross is made of wood, and hang on to it, because there's trouble ahead. The cross is our ark. If we hang on to that cross, the troubles that are ahead, which are symbolized by the flood, we are going to survive them. But we have to hang on to it for our dear lives, as we say. Because it's the only thing that saves is the wood of the cross of Jesus. And then, of course, he goes on and he talks about the rooms in the ark. And he says, cover the inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. And God is giving very, very precise instructions to Noah. He's telling him how long the ark must be. He's telling him how high the ark must be. How wide it must be. He tells him there are three decks in the ark, different levels. He tells them that he has to put a window on the top. He tells them that he's going to put a door in the side. He gives them every single instruction. And you know what? God has given us his instruction. And his instruction is contained herein.
Yes.
So he had given instructions to Noah to build an ark. And he is saying to hang on to the cross, these are your instructions. It's all here in the book. And you've got to start seeing the parallel between Noah and ourselves. That's what I'd like you to see. When you read the Bible, you know, it looks like a story. No, it's not a story. You can relate it to yourself. You can relate it to the day of today. You can relate it to what is happening through the world. You can relate God's salvation to this passage. Isn't that marvelous? You know, it's extraordinary, really, because this has just got to do with a person that's going into a boat. It's going to float its way until it's dry, and that's it. There's much more behind it than you think. And then God says, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So God is telling Noah what he is going to do. He's not going to make him a surprise. He's saying, I am going to flood the earth, and everything that is on there that breathes is going to die. And in the next verse, and that's where I love about the Bible, there's a but. And it says, but I will establish my covenant with you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God is establishing a covenant with us. He says something, but there's a but. Glory be for the buts. And as you read the Bible, there's quite a few buts in there. And that's the important thing. There's buts and ifs and when.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, Noah being who he is, he starts building this ark. And you've got to try and imagine in those days, I will say possibly himself to start off with, and then his children, because he was 500 years old when God said to him, build an ark. Which means he was, let's say, roughly half through his life. And you might wonder, you know, when is God going to talk to me? When is he going to tell me what to do or how to do it? Well, sometimes you might have to wait until your half of your life is gone. And then he will tell you. And then Noah, in obedience, started building an ark. Now remember, in those days, he was alone. He had a wife, right? And the Bible tells us that he begot, he had, right? He created, he got three boys, okay, who were born after he was 500 years old. So it's only after they came out of babyhood and youngster that they probably perhaps started helping him. So the hard work he was doing by himself. And of course all the people around would have said, look at that crazy man. He's nowhere near the sea and he's building a boat. What on earth? He must be completely loco. He must be completely crazy. Because he's building a boat in the middle of the grass and nowhere. There is no even river. There's not even a river near to it. And look at the size of this thing. You know, there was. If you have a look, if you do a little bit of research, you will find that that ark was about half the length of a modern cruiser. Enormous. It was absolutely enormous. It was 225 feet, I think it was, in length. Just absolutely enormous. And look at how he had to build it. I mean, what tools did he use? Sometimes I just wonder, you know, how did he curve these woods? You know, how did he do this, these planks of wood? But he managed to do it somehow with the grace of God, because God told him to build it, so God gave him the possibility to do it.
Yeah.
And it's the same in our lives. If God tells you to do something, He is going to equip you to do this.
Amen.
Amen. He will give you everything you need to be able to do the job that He told you to do.
Amen.
Because He knows that we can't do it without Him. There is no way that as human beings we can accept an order of God, an instruction of God, and carry it out by ourselves. Because what God wants from us is to do something, but the result of what we need to do is going to come from Him, not from us. We are simply the tools that He is going to use to execute His plan. And then, of course, we have to brush off what everybody is saying about what we're doing. In this particular case, he had all these people around him, and they say this guy's completely crazy, and they were mocking him. And this. But what he did do, and that's in, I think it's in Hebrews, by faith, that's right, Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, very important, godly fear. That's what's lacking today. Godly fear prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of right of the righteousness which is according to faith. So by faith he carried on doing that. And the Bible teaches us so that faith was there, and whatever people would say, he would carry on. And not only that, but it says a bit further down in 2 Peter, it says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So he was a preacher. In other words, he was not just saying, I'm going to build an ark for my family. He was telling the people around him, there is a flood coming. You'd better change your ways because God is going to destroy you. He was telling them the truth. Of course, nobody believed him. Now, how many people do not believe today when you talk about Jesus and say, the only way is Jesus? There is no other way. I'm the light, the truth, and the story. That's it. It's him. There is no other way. How many people believe you? They must be touched by the grace of God. Otherwise, they will not believe you. And in those days, Jesus had not yet come, so nobody was believing what he was saying. But he carried on in faith. And he carried on building that ark. And the Bible says to us that the flood came in the 600th year of Noah. So it took him about 100 years to build that ark. In other words, don't worry about your ministry. Don't worry about what God has prepared for you. It'll just take the time it needs to take. But at the right moment, God is going to do what he said he was going to do in your lives. It takes patience on our part. It takes faith to believe that God is going to do what he says he was going to do. And it takes time. It takes time because you're going to prepare. I mean, how long, how many months, how many years has Pastor Eddie dreamt about going on the internet live? Possibly since he was a young boy. Since the first time he preached, perhaps. And how many years has he waited? Praying to God, trusting in him, having faith in what God promised him. And today we can see that it's the beginning of a new era.
Yes.
God is now doing what he said he would do.
Yeah.
But in obedience, Pastor Eddie continued in whatever he was doing. And that is exactly what Noah did. He carried on in obedience building that ark. Which obviously was not a very easy job. It was not an easy job at all. Especially with the tools of the day. But he carried on. And he finished the ark. And then God said, okay, now I'm going to open the heavens. And the water is going to come down for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm going to destroy everything that is on earth. but I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all the flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. I was very surprised when I was looking at this a bit, you know, and it says there too, and a bit further down, it actually says seven. Let's just read that. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after their kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them, and to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. In other words, he obeyed. Now chapter 7 verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous, that you are righteous before me. That's a because. There was first a but, and then now there's a because. Come into the ark. I will save you because you're righteous. So it's not a matter of saying, God, I want to be saved, and I'll change. Uh-uh. Change first, and God will save you. Amen. That is what repentance is all about. We repent first. And when we have repented, then God saves us. It doesn't work the opposite way around. We've got to do our part first. And this is exactly what God saw in Noah. He was righteous. And therefore, because of that, he saved him. And you shall take with you seven each, that's in verse 2, of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean. A male and his female. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, there's a song that goes, the animals went in two by two, hooray, hooray. Does anybody know that song? But in reality, God is saying here, unclean animals, two by two. They're always going to be two by two, but he wanted two. But from the clean animals, I'm not going to go into what is clean and what is unclean. You can read that in the Bible, okay? But of the clean, he said, I want seven pairs. Now, Have you ever thought why God wants seven pairs? God does say that everything that to be eaten, yeah, for you to be kept alive and for the animals, right? Okay, fine. But they're not going to eat all of them. But then we go further. It's God's provision. He already knows what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. Right? So he says to Noah, now you take seven, not two. Seven. And then he says, go into the ark, even seven each of birds in the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Okay, so he goes in and he takes all those seven. Well, he doesn't. The animals come in all by themselves. Can you imagine that? He doesn't have to go and hunt them. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. That's the third time it is mentioned in this chapter, or in the book in Genesis about Noah. Three times, that he is obedient. And then it says, now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So as I said, it took him about 100 years to get that done. So let's not be impatient. Let's not be impatient. If God gives you a promise, be sure that it is going to happen. Amen. It might not happen that instant. It might not happen that day. It might not happen that month or even that year. But it is going to happen. It is going to happen in God's own good time. When everything is prepared the way it is supposed to be prepared, and it is going to be ready for success. If we try to do things before the right time, it is bound for destruction. Because it's not God's time. We're going to try and do it in a human way. But when God does something, it's going to be perfect. and the timing is going to be absolutely right. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his own sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, and animals that are unclean, of birds and of everything that crept on the earth, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Can you see what I'm saying? Two by two, they went into the ark. They went into the ark. God instructed the animals to go into the ark. I mean, isn't that... I don't know, it's amazing. Come on! Come on, say amen, somebody! Come on! It's absolutely fantastic. So they went in there, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 7th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And I just put a note here in my Bible, which says trouble, tribulations. Troubles and tribulations. And that's going to happen in our lives. Don't kid yourself. The life of a Christian is a good life. Yes. When we've got God with us.
Come on.
It's a good life. We never said it was an easy life.
Yes.
But it's a good life. Because we know that whatever happens, we're only going through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes. Come on.
We're not going to stay there. We are walking through it. And God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us?
Yes.
See, you've got a fantastic church. They know everything. This church here, Sunrise. But it's true. Why do we have to fear? It's we sang about it.
Yeah.
Do not fear. God is with us. But troubles come. Troubles come. And that's why I say temptations come. Because troubles are something that the devil throws at us. But to get us to fall, he actually throws temptations at us. As many as he can get. You know, he never stops 24/7. And that's why there is prayer here every day, 24/7. I mean, every single day of the year. To counter what the devil is trying to do in our lives. Because I know for a fact that our pastors here, they pray for every single one of us. I know that. And if it's not here, it's in their home. But they do pray for every single person in this church. I know that. And if God is with us, nobody can touch us. But troubles come. So don't think. And do you know what is great? That we know we're victorious. We only have to sit tight for the storm to go by.
Yes.
And trust God that he is holding us in his hand just to go over the waters. We don't have to worry. But the thing is, you see, we have a tendency as human beings is want to react to things. Ah, let's do something. Let's try and solve this problem. No, let God solve it. We're his children. He'll look after us. Why do we have to try and solve something? Let him do it. Just sit tight, pray, and wait for it to pass. And he'll take care of you all.
Amen.
Amen. And that's exactly what God is doing here. I'm just going to pass a few verses there because there's another verse there that I want to read to you, which is verse 16 in chapter 7, which says, "So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in." That's what it says. God locked the door of the ark. He closed it. That's what it says here. The Lord shut him in. Now what does that mean? He wasn't punishing him, putting him in prison. He was protecting them.
Yes.
That is God's protection. And that is why I say to you, hang on to that cross. Because that is where the protection lies. That is where God is going to look after you. It is not anywhere else. It is the only place where you are safe.
Hallelujah.
If you go anywhere else, you're risking, you're playing with fire. Literally. You're playing with the fire of hell. The only place where you are safe is at the cross of Jesus.
Yes.
Because that is the only... He saved us on that cross. Amen? So, that protection comes from God. It's His promise that was given to us that a Savior would come. Now, He has come, which didn't... wasn't what hadn't happened in Noah's days. But now, yes, that promise has come. And the only thing we have to do is hang on for the ride. And say, come on, Jesus, you're with me here. Whatever happens, you're by my side and nothing is going to befall me.
Amen.
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 God's protection. Yeah. And then, of course, God is not saying that those troubles are going to stop just like that. It's not instantaneous. This was for 40 nights and 40 days. That's a long time for it to rain. And as it says, it wasn't just drizzle. It was steaming down. And everything was flooded. And God is still looking after that ark. And He was doing whatever God does, right? And then Noah got a little bit impatient, yeah? But it says there in verse 1 of chapter 8, then God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. And I can imagine Noah being in that ark there and praying to God 40 days and 40 nights and saying, God, please, I know I'm safe here. I know you're looking after me, but please make this short because I'm suffocating in this place. These animals, they're all, you know, so much heat coming out of here. You know, I need some fresh air. Okay, so please get this flood over as soon as possible. Don't we do that? When we go through trouble, saying, God, okay, fine, I know I've got to be patient, but just hurry up, Lord, come on, get me out of here. Let's just be patient. Let's just be patient. And then the Lord's, and of course you can say, Lord, please. And then He remembers us, okay? And slowly, slowly, the waters are receding, but then what does Noah do? He takes a raven, which is a black bird, and he throws it out, and it comes always back because he hasn't got anywhere to go. It comes back and forth, several days. And I think it was on the seventh day a dove goes out, and it comes back. And then it goes out, and it comes back with an olive leaf. The end of our troubles are there. The end of our troubles, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. That little olive leaf represents the end of the tunnel. We have gone through the valley.
Yes.
We have gone through the valley. And the opposite side of the valley, there's green. There's light. And the blessing of God is there for us. You see, He sent out a raven that kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. And then what did Noah do when the waters had receded, when it was dry land, when the ark came and sat there on the top of Mount Ararat, we think? What did he do then? Well, he went out and the first thing he did was say, "Thank you, Lord!" He built an altar to the Lord. And from every clean animal, he took and he sacrificed to the Lord. Do you begin to understand why there were seven pairs there?
Yeah.
Because God knew that Noah was going to thank him. And he needed something to be able to thank him with.
Yes.
So he said, you're not going to take two, you're not going to take three, you're going to take seven. And the only thing that Noah had to do was to take one of each one of those animals and sacrifice them to the Lord. He didn't just take one animal. He just didn't take one cow or one ox. It was a generous thanksgiving. He was giving as much as he could, thanking God from the deepest of his heart that he had survived and that he would start a new generation. Praise God. Do we do that? I know Sunrise Church does, but in general, in general, do we do that? Do we thank the Lord when we go through a tribulation and then we come the other side? Are we generous with our thanks to the Lord? You don't have to answer me, but, you know, just think for people in another church, you know, perhaps they don't, right? Don't forget to say thank you. In every single thing that you do or that you go through, just thank the Lord.
Yes. Come on.
It doesn't matter what happens to you. Just thank Him. Glorify His name in the good and in the bad. Yes. And do you know why? Because He is in control. He knows exactly what He is doing, and He knows exactly why He is doing it.
Yes.
We don't. But let's be grateful. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for this day of life. Thank you, Father, for giving me this breath this morning.
Yes.
Thank you for this night during which I was able to rest and you strengthened me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now give me strength for the rest of this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today. Do today what you have to do. Thanking God every single instant of that day. For everything. Let it be food that's on your plate. Let it be thanking you, thanking Him for being able to have a ride in a car to take you somebody from somebody else. Thank you for a bus pass that you have in your pocket. Thank you for that little money that you have there. Thank you for that warmth that you can feel in there, which is in fact the love of Jesus that you can feel. Lord, what do I do? Do I go left or right there? I'm not quite sure. And the Holy Spirit says to you, just take left, my child. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you. You can't thank Him enough. There is no way that we human beings can thank Jesus sufficiently for what He is doing in our lives. We can only do our very best. Because there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is going to compare to what He has done for us. There is no way. And besides, very honestly, who would we be? Who are we to even try? Come on, guys. He's God. He is God. We are His creation. He is the Creator. How? I mean, it is not our job to try and do like Him. Our job is to worship Him. Our job is to thank Him. That is our job. And to spread the good news to the people who don't know Him. That is our job. And if we do that to the best of our ability, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
And those are the words that I really want everybody to hear when we get up there. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because I dread the day that people are going to stand up there and He's going to say, I don't know you. Please, Lord, protect me from that. Protect me from the enemy who is going to drag me away from you. However, like it said in the song, nothing can pluck us away from His hand.
Yes. Yes.
But that is on one condition, is that we hang on to that cross.
Yes.
If we leave that cross, everything can happen. Are you reading me loud and clear? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful message. Thank you. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That's in verse 20. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in His heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, listen to this promise, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God is going to keep going until the end. And what is the end? Until Jesus comes back. Until Jesus comes back. And then, verse 1 of chapter 9 just says, God blessed Noah. He just blessed him. First he tells him what to do, then he saves him, and then he blesses him. So we can, if we carry on this parallel with Noah, we can say that every time we go through tribulations, whereas we come out of the other side, God is going to bless us. Amen? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. God blessed Noah. So if he blessed him, he's going to bless me. He's going to bless each one of you.
Yes.
Coming out of tribulations. If we hang on to the cross and if we thank God. Remember that. Very important. And then God says, be fruitful and multiply. We've heard that before as well, haven't we? In the Garden of Eden, perhaps? Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because there was nothing left. Now, what is God saying to us here? He's saying, bear fruit. That is what he's saying. Bear fruit. In other words, spread the gospel. Take your neighbor, bring him to church. Tell him about Jesus. Or hear about Jesus. Tell them how they can be saved. Tell them what the only way is. And bring him to God and be fruitful. That is where you're going to bear fruit. That's what it's all about. Amen?
Amen.
God is a wonderful God.
Yes.
And then he establishes another covenant. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth, and I set my rainbow in the cloud. In other words, God is saying to us, whatever happens, I'm going to be with you all the time. And if I forget, which is highly unlikely because he is God, there is a rainbow to remind me. Amen. We want to thank you, Father, tonight for your marvelous provision. We want to thank you for your marvelous instructions that you give us in our lives. We want to thank you because you have provided for everything that we needed for doing your work, for the ministries in which you have called us. We want to thank you, Father, for the instructions that you give us, all the guidelines. We want to thank you for your provision in all things. We want to thank you for your protection, Lord. And before all, Lord, we really want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, Lord. And we know now that it is the only way. And we want to praise your glorious name for this, Lord. That I was privy to be able to actually accept Lord as my Lord and Savior. Lord, this is such a great privilege to be able to be here with him. I can't thank you enough. There are no words to thank you. But I know that there are other people who do not yet know you, Father God. And I want to ask the church now just to look into their hearts right now. Perhaps bow their heads and close their eyes. And if there is anybody here who hasn't actually yet given their heart to Jesus, that they haven't embraced the cross yet, that they may be touched by the Holy Spirit in this particular moment. And that the Holy Spirit may move their hearts to come to Jesus right now. Because he is the one who does this. He is the one who convinces people.
Yes, that's true.
So Holy Spirit, I ask for your moving here in this place right now.
Amen.
Hover over the people right now. Touch their hearts of the people who do not know you yet, Lord. And I ask you to raise your hand if there's anybody here today that wants to actually...